Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
I want to admit something to you today, and I want you to know this from the beginning so there'll be no questions about it. I am doing a presuppositional message today. I am not doing one that I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am picking some scriptures out and leaving others alone. And I know that, and I want you to know that before I ever begin. Okay? This is my understanding. I hope it will fall in line with yours. But I'm going to give you a chance in this message to answer the question that I want to ask for yourself. So I hope you'll get your pen out. If you have a pen with you in your purse or pocket, I want you to turn your bulletin on the back to a blank place there someplace. And I want to ask you a question in a minute. I want to set the stage for the question first. And then I want to come back and give you my perspective on it and see how much maybe we agree in our understanding of this. The question is, what is the least that one can believe and be a Christian? Now, of course, the question behind that question is, what are the essentials of a Christian faith? What is the absolute bare minimum? What is the irreducible, non-compromisable core of the Christian faith? That question has very much affected my theology, very much affected who I am, how I look at the Bible, how I look at the Christian faith. It's become a very fundamental question in my understanding of what God wants of my life. And I want to talk a minute to you about it to set the stage, I think, for the importance of a question like that. I feel like that as soon as I get a few years to do some writing that I want to, one of the books that are very deep in my heart that I hope the Lord gives me a chance to write is a book that I want to entitle, Why Are There So Many Interpretations of the Bible? I've become more and more concerned as the Lord gives me more and more years of study of really how arbitrary many, many views of the Bible are. It seems that for the most of us, we learn from childhood certain things, and they become the irreducible things. And yet, in my perspective, denominations are a very unfortunate situation. I do not think the splinterness of Christianity was ever what God wanted. The drawing of lines to the people of God is a very unfortunate modern problem. And as I have analyzed this in my own heart and mind, more and more I see that denominational distinctives are many times simply regional and simply perspectives of a particular culture at a particular time. It really bothers me as a man who wants very desperately to say the Bible only as authority, to look even at the state of Baptist life, much less the rest of Christendom, and to see how widely views differ from state to state, from region to region, from country to country, and from age to age. If that is true within a small group among Christians who have so much in common, what is that like amidst all of Christendom? Well, I feel like that we have many times majored on the minors. We have made the peripheral the issue. And so I come to ask myself, Bob, as you are simply a link, a simple link, a normal link in the chain of historical Christianity, I don't want to do anything but be faithful to the historic Christian message. That's what I want to do. I want to pass on to those who come after me what has been passed on to me as the essentials, the priority, the majors of the Christian faith. I put it in the question, what is the least you can believe and be a Christian? For that should be the thing that we are majoring on. That should be the unity that pulls us together as the people of God. The essentials ought to be the place that everyone can begin, even though all of us are going to understand the Bible differently. There ought to be a core to which all can bow down in reverence to. As I have thought about that, I have thought back as I have read church history. And what I really strive for in my theology is to have the same central truths in my life and in my preaching that characterized the Church of the Reformation, that characterized Protestantism, as I understand it, that characterized the Church of the Middle Ages before Protestantism never came about, that characterized the early Church and the New Testament Church. There ought to be some steel pillars that run through history that are irreducible minimums, and I think there are. Now, we might disagree over one or two of them, but I think if we disagree too much on the irreducible minimums, we're in great problems. I think Christendom is in great problems if we disagree on the minimum to be a Christian. All of us have a theology worked out in a large framework. And I think that's good and important. Every Christian has to do it because of the priesthood of the believer. But I'm asking you to think with me for a moment, not on the whole framework of your understanding, but the pillars that hold that framework up. The absolute irreducible minimum. The thing that you would tell your children are absolutely crucial, that you would not compromise on, that if someone missed one of these, in your opinion, they would not be a Christian. That's what I'm talking about. Not things that you wish people would believe, but things that if they missed one of these, you would not consider them a Christian brother. That's the things I'm talking about. Now, I would like, with that brief introduction, take 5 minutes of quietness for you to pray and ask the Lord to give you a quietness and a leadership and a wisdom, and for you to get a pencil and think clearly of the question I've asked you. What is the least, the irreducible, non-compromisable minimum that one can believe and be a Christian? And I want you to jot those things down somewhere on that bulletin or in the back of your Bible. And then after 5 minutes, I want to compare with you quickly what I believe that mine are and the scripture passages I bring them from, and then to close. 5 minutes. It's almost a heresy to have quietness in a worship service, isn't it? I'm afraid, for the most part, that many of you wrote down nothing for two reasons. Number one, worship services have been such a time of spoon-feeding people that you haven't thought for yourself in a long time in a worship service. We're so used to listening and never participating that I think probably many sit there. Second, I don't think many of us have thought through our faith very rationally, very logically, very prayerfully in a long time. It was given to us in the past. We know Christ. We've experienced His love and mercy, but we never have thought through clearly what we believe and why. And for someone to ask you a question of what is the majors is to throw you in a tailspin. Not know what to put down. Not sure how to analyze what's the real priorities. And that's the problem. That is exactly the problem. Now, I hope that those of you who did write things down, I would ask for a show of hands, but I'm afraid it would embarrass me and you. The ones who did think through this, maybe you didn't have a pencil, maybe that's the reason. But those of you who did think through this, I hope that you didn't list 35 items that are irreducible, uncompromisable. For many people in our world, baptism is near irreducible minimum. Where you were baptized is an irreducible minimum. What spiritual gift you have is an irreducible minimum. What translation of the Bible you use is an irreducible minimum. Your view of inspiration is an irreducible minimum. Your view of the millennium, an irreducible minimum. I hope that we're somewhat close together. If we're not anywhere close together, it shows a real gap between our understanding of the Christian faith. The more I study, the smaller my absolutes become. The more I study and pray, the fewer things I am dogmatic about. Not the more, the fewer. And therefore, maybe it'd be a good, real good chance for you to see how I tick, what motivates me, what the essence of my theology is. And that's probably good for you and me. Number one, well, let me say this. I think in something like this, as my mind was asked a question like that, I begin to say, I need to say something about God. I need to say something about who Christ is. I need to say something about man. I need to say something about how man is right with God. Those are four areas that I think are irreducible. You've got to know something about God, something about Christ, something about man, and something how they relate. Now, you may add a whole lot of things there, but that to me is the essence, the irreducible. Those four areas are, you can't leave one out and be a Christian in that. That's how tight I'm making this. To miss one of those four is to not be a believer, to be a cult, or simply an unbeliever. I believe in the personality and the goodness of God. I believe God is a person. And I believe He's good. I get that from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible assumes the existence of God, and I do too. I don't try to prove Him, I assume Him. In Genesis 1:31, it says, when God had finished everything, He said it was very good. I think creation reflects God's nature, that God is good and creation is good. I believe in a personal, good, supreme being. Now, if He's arbitrary, or if He's evil, we're in trouble. We're in real trouble. If God is a figment of man's imagination, we are really in trouble. If there are a bunch of gods, our faith is wrong. Number two, the only way that I know anything about God, the only thing I have any knowledge of God, is my view of the Bible. Because you can walk out in the street and ask somebody, what do you think of God? And they can say, He's a click-click. Well, how do you know they're not true? I mean, how is there any standard or absolute? How do we have any knowledge about who God is, who Jesus is, who man is, how man's right? How do we have any knowledge about that? The Bible. Otherwise, just a great big mass of my opinion versus your opinion, or my vision versus your vision, or my trance versus your trance, or whatever you want to say. Number two, I believe the Bible is the inspired self-revelation of God. I believe that in this book is the only standard of faith and practice, the only revelation from God that is clear and absolute and universal is in this book. There is no other place in the world to know about God than right here. No other place. No other place. I put some verses down. You might want to write these beside that. Surely you're taking this down to analyze it. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Very popular scripture. All in scripture is inspired. And on, God breathed. Second will be 2 Timothy 1:20-21. says, no prophecy is given by man's own desire, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy is a matter of one's own interpretation. I think those two verses are crucial in my understanding of the Bible as the only way to know God. There's no other way. None. And I want to put a little parenthesis here under number two because I think it's very important. I've just made a tremendous statement about a book, but I want you to realize that I don't worship a book. I believe that Jesus Christ is the focus of the Bible. That the Bible points toward Christ, but the Bible does not exhaust Him. I believe that Christ is the only complete, clear self-revelation of God. Now, He's recording this book, but the person is the complete revelation. The book is a pale shadow of that. And I get that from the passage that Vernon read about Jesus being God. I get it from Colossians 1, 15 and 16. And I get it from Hebrews 1, 2 and 3. That Jesus is the exact representation of the invisible God. That He is the radiance of God. That to see Jesus is to see God is fundamental in my understanding. Number three, I have to say something about Christ. I said something about God. The only way we know Him is through the Bible. Then I say that Christ is the real focus, the real truth. He is the living Word. There is no other way to get to the Father except through Him. So I have to say something about Christ. What do I believe about Christ that's irreducible? Now, these things are non-compromisable to me. I mean, somebody hit one of these. In my opinion, they're not a Christian. That's how dogmatic I'm trying to make it. To hit one, to reject one, is to reject the whole. I believe that Jesus is fully man and fully God. I believe He was a true man, but I believe He was complete deity. I get that from two places. Vernon read to you John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, which tells me that Jesus is divine. I could pick many more, but that was the clearest, I think. To reject Jesus being deity is to be not a Christian. The other side of the coin is equally true. I particularly put down 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. John fighting against Gnostics, especially docetic Gnostics, who said that Jesus was God, but He wasn't really a man, He was a phantom. He said, we have beheld Him, we have handled Him, we have seen with our own eyes, and we have touched the Word of life. It's John's way of saying He's flesh and bone, folks, flesh and bone. Number four, well, let me add to that. I think it's probably crucial here when I'm talking about Christ. I believe the resurrection is non-compromisable. The boy's in the grave, and we're fools, or the boy has been exalted to the right hand of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, and Christianity is true. There's no middle ground, the resurrection. It happened, or it didn't happen. He came out of the grave, and all our hopes and dreams and plans with Him, or He has rotted in a grave, and all that we preach is a lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, 12 through 20. Finally, I want to say something about man and about salvation that I think is irreducible. I think if a person misses this, they're not a Christian. That's how strong I want to make what I'm saying today. I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. It's often called justification by faith, but I want to put grace in there. I believe that no one is right with God unless God loves them first. You say, Bob, can you give me a scripture? Yes, I believe I can. The Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 44 and 65. No one comes unto the Father unless the Holy Spirit woos them, draws them. And what about salvation by grace through faith? Is there any other way to be right with God? I don't believe there is. We could argue over the how of grace and faith. We could argue over the means, the channel. And I don't want to argue about that. That's not irreducible to me. What is irreducible is grace through faith. And I put Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which I think you're so familiar with. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we have to believe that God is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, this is my theology in a nutshell. In college, I remember a time or two when tracts were put on my door because I did not have a particular millennial view that was current and popular in my particular college. And the result of me not having the exact same system of how the Lord was going to return caused some of my fellow preachers to withdraw fellowship from me and even doubt my salvation. They drew a line through the people of God based on how, why, when, where, and who of the second coming. Many people draw lines through Christendom. What rules a person keeps or don't keep. I've even known in my lifetime of people who draw a line through Christendom on what translation of the Bible one used, what denomination they were part of, what kind of experience they had had or not had. I do have some lines. I do have some absolutes. I do have some irreducible, non-compromisable minimums. But, oh, I have drawn them with great care. The personality of God. The trustworthiness and inspiration of the Bible. The deity and humanity and focal point of Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith and the resurrection. I would be interested if one of you would like to share with me what you put in your irreducible minimums that maybe we haven't talked about. I'd be happy to hear your understanding and perspective. Anybody like to share with us? Yes, Ozell. Right. Well, I would agree with those. See, we set them a little different, but they're the same things there, aren't they? About Christ, about the Bible, about God, about man. Someone like to share what your list is? Yes, Morris.
Faith in God, not work, as a means to salvation.
Okay. That'd be caught up in my grace through faith, Ephesians 2. But I think that's very important that we're right with God because of who God is, not because of who we are. We don't do something to be a Christian, right? We receive it. Yeah. Someone else. Yes, yes, Mark. Right, that the essence of Christianity is a relationship. Yes, I think that's just crucial. Yes, Anna May. Okay. Okay. Sinfulness of man. Ozell had that specifically. And the crucifixion of Christ. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Well, the first thing that we have got to be a Christian, that you would be surprised at how many people in your hands are doing that recently, is to believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. They say, well, I'm good. I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever accepted Christ?
Assumption they're a Christian because of what they do? Okay, I agree with that. Let me tie this together real quick, because I think what we've said is very appropriate. We have mentioned the essentials. What we ought to be known as proclaiming are these points. These are the things we will die for. These are the things we will go to the wall for, not other things. Other things we will talk about in love. Other things all of us have as a part of our theology. Other things are important for us as individual believers before God. But we must proclaim the essential. The irreducibles. These are the truths by which Christianity stands or falls. Lord God, help us, we pray, to have clarity about who you are, who we are, and how we're brought together. God, we pray that your Spirit would give us a sense of the essentials. Forgive us, Lord, when we major on the minors, when we divide ourselves among those things that aren't absolutely crucial. Give us, we pray, the historical faith once and for all delivered to the saints. Give us those things that you taught, those things that you died for. And Lord, if there ever comes a time in history when Christianity becomes so diluted, so secularized, so culturized, so denominationalized, that these things be lost, help us have the faith and courage of the early church to be willing to die for those things which we believe are crucial. Help us, we pray, to be faithful, majoring on the majors, committed to the irreducible. And give us, we pray, a spirit of love, an understanding, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.